What's going on, Clipper Nation? We're back.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for dealing with our time off.
Yeah, had to take a quick day break.
Too much work.
Too much work going on. Anyways, I'm William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. In case you didn't know, we come at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content. I mean, Charles is smirking, but like most of the time, 5 days a week.
I apologize.
The off season has hit a total wall right now. We're doing our best, man.
Yeah.
We've got like our hard hats on and our pickaxes. We're digging for content every single day.
I'm cashing my checks at the content plant right after I get them.
But anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. Generally, every Friday, we do a Pacific Division power ranking. However, in lieu of that, we got some great questions from you guys.
There's some great ones today.
So we're going to be doing more of a mailbag kind of thing. If you ever want to ask us a question, please get at us on Twitter. That's at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler, at Locked On Clips. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
And then we still are running back everybody's favorite Friday segment,
Love, Marry, Kill.
And Charles has got a great one lined up for you today, so stay tuned for that.
So yeah, we got some fantastic questions from you guys today. There's not a whole lot going on. We appreciate you sending questions in on Tuesdays. We appreciate it today. It's amazing. We have some, there's like a very nice gamut of these. The first one is from Shamit for Three.
Love it.
His other name is Shamit's Burner, so this could be Landry Shamit for all we know. Do you think the Clippers will start a different lineup in the playoffs than what they will in the regular season?
TBD. But
yeah.
I would guess no.
Oh, see, I was going to say maybe yes.
Okay, so you give me your alt lineup and why you think they do it, and then I'll give you mine.
My alt lineup would be basically Bev at the one, Sham at the two, Paul George, Kawhi split between that 3-4, and then Green at the five.
Okay, that's interesting.
It worked so well. Green at the five worked so well against the Warriors, who is, I mean, you know, it's a good team for those things to work well against. It also just depends on how much development Zubac has on defense, I think. Because I think the big switch we would see would be at the five.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't think so. And my main reason being, Doc has stated that he doesn't really like trick things in the playoffs. He's
yeah,
like, by the time the playoffs roll around, like, we've seen everything that they run. And maybe they'll throw in some new thing and there's a wrinkle. But, like, by game two, you got that figured out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I don't think that he would vary the starting lineup. But this is going to be kind of a running theme that I'm going to harp on for, I'm sure, the rest of this season. I think the starting lineup will largely stay the same when Paul George and Kawhi are both healthy. I do think, however, the minutes, I think we're going to be challenging what a starter is in terms of minutes. Because I think,
which I love. Yeah. I'm such a fan of how this team handles the bench minute situation.
Exactly. So I think that you could see guys, you know, maybe getting subbed out earlier than a traditional starter would, depending on matchups and stuff. But I don't think that we'll see, like when they're announcing the starting lineup, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of changes unless there's guys resting, something like that.
Or the Zubats in the playoffs last year situation, where it just becomes abundantly clear that something, like I think you're right. I think it has to be something that
unless
is
something goes
like a
completely
punch
yes.
you in the face that's yep. so wrong that you're like, we have to change this and nothing happens.
Yeah, unless we require a major adjustment.
I like that idea of, you talk about, you've coined the term built-in loads management, which hasn't taken off yet, which doesn't
TM,
make any sense.
You know?
TM pending. I think part of that is going to be, you know, maybe Kawhi and Paul George don't sit out the whole game, but they see like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes of action. Something like that on nights where it's like, we just had the, you know, second night of a back-to-back, they're both healthy. Run them out there a little bit. If things are okay and we can kind of say stasis, which is fantastic because we have the bench that we have, that kind of goes into that load management factor. So I think that will also greatly affect your kind of theory with playing with starters minutes and stuff like that.
Yes. The one wrinkle I will, though, add to the playoffs thing is we will see, I think that we could maybe even see dramatic changes in the usage of both Kawhi and Paul George, as well as our more kind of pillar guys that we lean on, you know, Lou Will and Trez. I think that there's going to be a greater premium on keeping those guys rested, keeping those guys healthy at all costs during the regular season. And then I think that we're going to see a lot of their usage skyrocket.
You think it might be a thing, maybe during the regular season we see a bunch of Shamit in terms of usage or something when both those guys are load managing, and then the playoffs, you think it tapers off? Because I kind of think we might use Shamit in not as prominent of a role maybe towards the end of the season, and then unleash his kind of absurd skill set that he has in the playoffs. He messed up the Warriors.
I don't think that we're doing any trick stuff.
Okay. I'm feeling sneaky today, I guess.
But I do see what you're saying. I don't know. I don't see any scenario in which Shamet doesn't get significant playing time.
Fair.
Yeah,
they're not going to like cut him from like 8 to whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, what unit that is with, I think, will largely be dictated by the season. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to. I don't personally believe in your idea that it's going to be like, oh, we're hiding this guy, and now,
surprise sand, pocket sand, but it's Shamet. Yeah, I think you're right. If he shakes out where there's something that's just blossoming between him, Lou, and Trez on that second unit, that it would be, then we're just going to stick with that, obviously.
I mean, it was so great in the playoffs, and I mean, it opens up so much space. If Shamet is, you know, prioritizing, or as an organization, they're prioritizing Shamit's development as a playmaker, giving him some more options to put the ball in the deck, to cut and get to the rim a little bit more, on top of his already excellent three-point shooting.
Yeah.
That just it takes so much pressure off of Lou Will.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, that's one of those things that maybe we do that during the regular season. When it comes playoff time, Lou Will's usage rate is going to go up because he's the guy. I mean, Shamet had a great playoffs last year, and I don't think that's a flash in the pan.
For sure.
I do think that is real. But Lou Will's just battle-tested, man. Like,
we could also see Shamet could take some absurd sophomore jump this year.
Oh.
Which is the other thing, which would be really cool to see that happen.
Yeah.
This goes perfectly.
Once again, though, that'll depend on his usage.
Oh, of course. This goes perfectly. He's going to have to be real efficient, too.
Shamet, yeah.
Which he is. So
he already is.
Right? That leads fantastically into a great question from loyal listener Rudy Zavala at Raz49ers. Watching Landry Shamet college highlights, do you guys think can become a point guard as the season progresses? First of all, love the passive-aggressive homework assignment right here. We have a five-hour meeting currently. I watched a bunch of Shamet college highlights. I appreciate this, Rudy. So from what I saw, his driving and dishing is there.
Yeah.
Like, that is definitely there. He seems to be able to find cutting centers super well, which on that second unit with Lou and Trez is a pretty, you know, he's a rolling and cutting center.
And, I mean, he'll have Zoo.
Yeah, and Zoo when he's in the starting lineup. That's really nice. For me, the handle just maybe needs to get tightened up. Because, I don't know, the college highlights that I saw, the ball's a little high. It was in college, so it is a little easier to find room. I think the pieces are there for him to be a better distributor, but maybe not a true, like, point.
Yeah, so you know? Looking at his numbers, you brought this up. His assist numbers increased from Philly.
Yeah, by one, almost 1.5, 1.1 to 2.3.
Yeah, I was going to say, but that's like 100% increase.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that number, you know, it doesn't jump out at you as like amazing or anything, but for how little he had like actual playmaking duties, I think that's a good sign. I think that, you know, that means he can pass out of trouble, which is like, you know, bare minimum. If you can do that, you can hold the ball.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that he has a good read on the floor. For me, that idea is reinforced just by how present he is on defense. Even if he's not the best defender, he is understanding what's going on, and he does learn. Mm-hmm. And he does want to do well.
Yeah.
But I do think we'll see him some more at the guard, especially during this stretch while Paul George is out.
Because
the way I'm seeing in the lineup, I don't see a scenario in which Shamet isn't in there if Paul George isn't playing.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really either,
unless like
Mo really crushes it in the preseason. But I totally agree. No disrespect to Mo, but Shamet is.
I know, but then are you moving Kawhi to the two? And then I mean,
yeah, that's goofy. You're right.
It's fine. I just think it makes like guarding assignments maybe a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I personally don't see a scenario in which he's not in that starting thing. So I think that yes, we will see him more as a playmaker because. You know, Pat Bev, I do think, is growing as a facilitator, but just having a second option is really going to make things easier.
I'm so excited. I feel like I talk about this almost every other podcast, to see when Shamet is on the second unit, what the distribution is going to be like with him, Lou, and Trez. Because if you're trapping either Trez if you're trapping Lou or Shamet, you're screwed.
Yes.
If they can get the ball out. With those three guys on the floor, you have Trez and you have another, or Lou or Sham, like, that's going to be incredible to see that chemistry work together. And his distribution, is going to look, I think, better on that second unit because of Trez.
Yep.
And we might see him with Jermichael and Trez out there sometimes.
Yes.
Which I'm, like, salivating thinking about that being our second unit right
now.
That
was, yeah, that was a deadly lineup.
It was huge.
In the playoffs last year.
And again, that Jermichael Green re-signing, absolutely clutch.
So, long answer short, yes, I do think they'll be seeing him. Doing a little bit more guard activities. What exactly that looks like, you know, TBD, but I do think we'll...
Boosted assist numbers.
Yes.
That's, I think, what it means for sure. Coming up after this break, we're going to be talking our favorite Clippers team from the thousands.
Mm-hmm.
We both only got one, and it was right in the beginning of the thousands. Want to give a shout-out to Locked On Fantasy Football. If you need expert advice on the local teams to help you win your draft, win some money, win a championship belt, I don't know.
Yeah.
Check out Locked On Fantasy.
Keep your hands from getting broken if you have a crazy bookie in your fantasy football league.
Yeah, that's a really good call. Shout out Locked On Fantasy Football. So Original Juan Zero.
Another great name. Man,
dude,
everyone who listens to this show, way to go on your handles.
Fantastic Twitter handles.
You're crushing. Never lost.
He said, who is your favorite Clippers team in the thousands?
I mean,
it's funny because it's the first team of the thousands.
Yeah.
It's 00 to 01.
Yes.
And there's the obviouses. There's Darius Q and Odom. There's the two taps to head. It's amazing. There was Piatkowski. There was Corey Maggette.
Oh, yeah.
Who had one of the first, like, NBA forum posts I'd ever seen back in this day.
Like, he posted?
No.
Oh, okay.
Like, a fan forum thing. Was they were talking about nicknames for players, and they gave Corey Maggette the nickname Bad Porn. He was Corey Bad Porn Maggette because all the scoring was there, but you just didn't like what you were seeing.
Oh, man.
Which is very disrespectful, but absolutely made me laugh at the time.
Oh, man.
At a time of a forum maybe I shouldn't have been in. And then, of course, we had 10 games of Earl Boykins, the 5-5 Wonderkind. And now the very successful investment banker, Michael Olowokandi. So, and the thing, like the setting for me, and this was, is this your favorite Thousands team too?
I mean, yeah, I think you'd be hard pressed to pick a more iconic lineup.
And the big thing why this was so big for me, because Will, you're from Colstrip, which is, how many people live in Colstrip, Montana?
Like 2,000 people.
2,000 people. I'm from a kind of a college town in Montana, but it was like 20,000 people. Basketball like these guys were playing did not exist within a 2,000, like within like a 750 mile radius of where we live.
Yeah. So, and this was like my only, most of my experience with these guys was like just through highlights, you know, like on sports,
mm-hmm.
Catching it on after the games, because I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of national
broadcasts. They weren't showing a lot of Clippers games in Colstrip.
So, yeah. And just, I mean, beyond that, like beyond just the basketball play, I just think, like the tone that they set, like the icons that they were, just had huge reaching implications over like the entirety of the league. I mean, a lot of people I feel like tend to associate like the change in both like the personal style and attitude of the NBA solely to Allen Iverson, which, you know, a lot of credit due.
Of course.
But like these guys, same thing. Like they were on that, like they started that wave of like expression and like just kind of dressing swaggier and like
yeah.
just doing more things to like establish a culture that I don't see in a lot of other sports.
Yeah, and it was theirs.
Yes.
Is the other
yeah.
thing. It was absolutely theirs. I like, this is one of my favorite stories. In my high school basketball, if you dunked the ball in a game, it was a foul and the points were taken off the board.
Same.
Like, this is where we grew
this
up.
This is a Montana thing. Yeah, like, very bizarre.
Like, if you dunk, there were kids that if you dunked in the warm-up line, you, like, got teed up
yep.
before the game started. Like,
yep.
So the way that basketball is played in Montana is the antithesis of what these guys did. And it literally, like, it would sometimes, you there's the famous oop from those guys that, like, makes you gasp. Like,
yeah.
there were kids who were
absolutely.
Like, what? Like, you're allowed to do that? Kids were not allowed to dunk, and like it was all about, you know, weird two-hand bounce passes and like you can't celebrate and stuff like that. So this opened so many people's eyes to all this stuff. Like, and this happened in the thousands in 2001 when I was not in high school yet, which means even after this in high school basketball you couldn't dunk.
Yeah.
Like, I graduated high school in 2008, and you still couldn't dunk.
Yeah.
Which,
after a solid 6 years.
Oh, yeah. Put in that. Yeah, put in those 6 years. But, it's hard because I feel like this is a lot of people's answer for their favorite Clippers teams of the thousands.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a damn good one. And we're talking 01 to 09. We're not talking 10.
Oh, yeah. We're talking aughts.
Man, I'm like going to, when we go back to this 5-hour meeting, I'm going to watch a bunch of highlights from those guys. Thank you for that question, original 10. Now, should we move on to this court leak thing?
Yeah. Yeah, let's
do it. So, NBA 2K, if you're not familiar, they kind of get court designs early and stuff like that because of the way the season lines up and the game lines up. It's very weird, I think.
But you're saying these are 100% credible.
I'm not saying these are 100% credible.
100% locked down.
I'm not saying that at all.
You're saying 2K is the defining voice of the NBA.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Now you got it. But so there were a couple court designs leaked from the Clippers. One of them, people believe, that is the City Edition design with a court with the classic Los Angeles kind of gothic tattoo font. Would you agree that that's kind of the font of it?
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about that later when we talk about our opinions on it.
Yeah. And then the other one, which might be the regular type court or maybe earned, I don't know, is basically just the same court we have now, but all black. The only color is at the top of the circles at the free throw line and then the three-point line, which are blue and red. So there is no color on any of these courts, really. It's all black. Like, it's 98% black.
Okay.
So there's
But the City Edition one is normal. It just has the gothic script. And
no, the City Edition one is all black, too.
Oh, it didn't look all black to me.
It just, like, I don't know. I'm not totally mad at it. But I really hope our jerseys don't reflect this much absence of color.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
What are your thoughts on the font?
Okay, so I want to talk about the font because this is something that's kind of interesting to me. It's like a very specific kind of gothic tattoo-y style font, is immediately kind of recognizable. But what's really interesting about it is that this font is something that's like super specific to LA and the tattooing culture that like exploded here.
That style of black and white tattoo started in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and there's like a very specific script. My issue with it is that it doesn't pay homage to that in a way that represents the uniqueness. It's like kind of a generic version of it. Like it looks like a font you could just pick up on Adobe or any other kind of stock font. So I think that is an issue, but I like where their head is at because I think that that's something, I don't know, to me that's just something that's so cool. It's like, you know, it's by far the most popular tattoo in LA. People have like this very specific script. There are artists that's all that they do. They don't do portraits. They don't do pictures of anything else.
And it's
they're just great at lettering. So I think that is really interesting to me just because it's so LA specific and like just one of those little things.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like the execution.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think they wanted to keep it a little broad, maybe. If this actually is the court, also, do not take our words as this being the court. This is the information we have. I think they maybe wanted to go a little broad with it, which is fair. It does. There's been some jokes on Twitter. It does look like the San Andreas font.
It does.
100% like the GTA San Andreas font. Both courts have that like city map that's on the Kawhi and PG logo in the back of it. Both the courts have that along the outside on like the baseline and the out of bounds, which I really like.
Yeah.
The actual one that if that is going to be our actual court, that's just all black with a black Clippers logo at the center of it, honestly kind of bums me out.
Yes.
If I'm being like that, I like our color scheme.
Yes.
I like how the logo looks in color. And it's, I don't know, I'm not the biggest fan of it. I just wish it wasn't color. You know, like, I really hope we don't have an all-black jersey next year. Because it's never been in our colors.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, Nike did this a couple years ago with college football jerseys, where they're like, everyone has black and everyone has all white. And it's like, but some people don't even have that
in their
scheme.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like what you said about the tattoo thing, though. That's a really good call.
Yeah, I just think that they should lean into it more, you know?
Yeah, really,
like,
go for it.
I mean, there's even, like, artists or somebody that I'm sure that they could find that would love to design something like that.
So I'd like to see there's a really famous...
No disrespect to whoever graphic designer did that.
Of course not.
No.
We have the best media team in all facets in the league.
Yeah.
There's a really cool graffiti artist named Chaka. I would love it if they somehow teamed up with him. He's, like, an iconic LA guy. Oh, man. Coming up after this, we have one of the most absurd love, marry, kills.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've ever done. Want to give a shout out to Locked On NFL. For those of you who don't play fantasy football, but just want to rub it, just some local knowledge in your coworkers' faces. Maybe they bet the wrong line on the game or something like that. Just a heads up, maybe take the under on Dolphins games. The defense looks a little better than people expect. Check out Locked On NFL. So, there was some spiciness on Twitter yesterday.
Okay.
As there always is. And I'm not talking about the chicken sandwiches. Okay, I'm going to jump off the roof of the building. Neil deGrasse Tyson tweeted a pic of the NBA logo and said, is it just me or does this need an update? First of all, it's just you, dog.
It's just you. It's perfect.
It's Jerry West. It's perfect.
The only thing that could be more perfect is if we just switch it to his face.
His current face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Brian Seaman.
I would say, sorry, this is a
go ahead.
But I would say old Jerry is maybe even more iconic than young Jerry.
Oh, yeah. He's so great. Brian Seaman quoted this tweet and said, stick to space, Neil, with the hashtag Jerry4ever.
I love it.
I love it. I wanted to print this out and hand it out to everyone in our office and just say, hey, this is good. Look at this.
Brian Seaman.
Going at Neil deGrasse, dude.
Undefeated. Love it.
Absolutely undefeated. He hosted the hell out of the playbook.
His stock is so high right now.
Oh, yeah. Stonks, dude. So this had me thinking last night, perhaps a little too late. What other feuds could he get into that you'd like to see this season? I got some good ones lined up.
All right. What's on the board?
We have Brian Seaman versus Jackson Pollock's estate.
Okay.
Brian wanted to buy a few paintings to celebrate his new job. He got a promotion, of course. But they refused because Pollock was notoriously an Orlando Magic fan. I don't know if that's true. I just made it up for this.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, man, that's a deep ref.
Then, second, Brian Seaman versus Guy Fieri.
Okay.
Brian actually got Guy into cooking during a Fieri-Seaman double family reunion when they were young. But Guy just keeps telling everyone he just picked up a stick of butter one day and he knew that that was that.
All right.
Third, Brian Seaman versus Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran told Brian he should sing more during broadcasts. Brian doesn't sing.
I'm just going to toss one more on there.
Of course.
Brian Seaman versus Don McLean.
Oh, what?
Don McLean is rolling in, bottle still in hand, looking rough as looking rough as hell one day.
Muttering about how Harden's ruining the game.
Yeah, and he's just trying to, he doesn't even have a mic. He's just trying to out-shout Brian Seaman on the sideline.
Not even on camera.
No, oh no. He's like just on the court.
Yeah.
He's very publicly challenging him.
Yeah, and Brian Seaman takes offense to that.
Yes.
Okay, I like this. So which one of these are you loving, marrying, and killing?
I'm loving Brian Seaman and Guy Fieri.
That'd be a fun time, because I think they'd both maybe have fun with it.
Oh, they would have super fun with it. I like that Guy Fieri has, like, transitioned to this, or maybe not even transitioned, he's always been this way, where he's, like, pretty self-aware and fine
hella
to get
self-aware.
Clowned on.
Yes.
He just knows who he is. So I think that that would be fun. I think that, I don't know, maybe there'd be some funny food play.
Oh, you know there would be.
Which, you know, I'm always down for some good food play. I'm marrying Seaman versus McLean, and I
Dude,
would not want
you're
to
gonna
see
cause
this.
You're gonna cause the feud today.
I would not want to see this happen, but the idea is so funny to me that it's something I would cherish forever.
Donnie Mack is someone who I would never mess with.
No,
dude,
absolutely
Donnie Mack,
not.
Like
absolutely, and I'm not just being disparaging here to Donnie Mack.
No, not at all.
Purely a hype.
This is a hypothetical in which Jackson Pollock's a notorious Orlando Magic fan. So which one are you killing?
I'm killing Brian Seaman versus Ed Sheeran because Ed Sheeran, look.
Garbage.
You're not even close to the level of Brian Seaman.
No.
All right? The man is a broadcast legend.
The man took over for Ralph Lawler.
Yeah. He just got the job of, I mean, one of the most beloved broadcasters of all time.
Who did Ed Sheeran take over for? Oasis? Get out of here. That's fair. I like that we actually have vitriol for Ed Sheeran now because of this fake feud.
Oh, I mean, just because of this. If he said a word to Brian Seaman, it's on site.
Dude, the Seaman Hive is on. That's Seaman's fans on Twitter. Shout out to the Seaman Hive. I'm loving Brian Seaman versus Jackson Pollock's estate.
I think that's great.
Jackson Pollock, noted fantastic artist, also kind of a bad dude, personal life-wise. I would just love it if he was a Magic fan. If there was these weird old, like, original logo renderings or some absurd thing.
And then, I mean, in my mind, Jack, it isn't just the estate. Jackson Pollock is still alive. And he's like, and then as a dick move, he's like, yeah, sure, I'll paint you a custom thing. And it's just an all red canvas.
It's just all red. That'd be fine. I'm actually going to marry Brian Seaman versus Ed Sheeran.
Why?
I want to hear a Brian Seaman diss track towards Ed Sheeran.
Oh, okay. We're getting hot.
Dude, Brian Seaman featuring DJ Dents and YG? Tell me that wouldn't happen.
Love it.
That'd be
Slaps.
A good time. I'm also now realizing that there'd have to be some time travel involved with Jackson Pollock being a Magic fan, but this is an entire hypothetical, so
sorry that
those dates don't add up. And then I might kill Donnie Mack versus Brian Seaman.
Yeah, that's fair.
I would hate for that to tear apart the team during a championship run.
It would be hard. It would be hard.
Man.
But I would love it in the same way that you forgive your friend when they're getting too drunk and being crazy.
Yeah, you're like, that's all good, man. Yeah, the next day they would be hanging out and having a good time.
It doesn't come from a place of true vitriol. It
comes from a place of love.
Yeah.
It's like when you fight your dad in your front yard or something like that.
Yep.
Shout out Jackson Pollock for being a great artist and a... Let's just start a weird rumor that he was a Magic fan.
Noted Magic
fan. Notorious Magic fan. That about wraps it up for us guys on this Friday. We have to go, what do we got, 2.5 hours more meeting left?
Something like that.
We're going to get the Popeye's chicken sandwich after. It's going to be a good time. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for the amazing questions today.
Wonderful stuff, guys.
It was great.
You better reload the clip because we're going to need them again on Tuesday.
We're going to be back for you guys on Monday. We're going to be doing it with the freshies. The rookies have been going to be doing a whole bunch this weekend. Please check us out on iTunes, rate, subscribe, review.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed the podcast with Carl Tart on Wednesday.
Absolutely.
Shout out Party Carl Tart, as he gave himself.
Great to have him.
I call him Playboy Cardi sometimes, or Tardy, because that was his Twitter name.
That's great.
We will see you guys on Monday. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much.